welcome and good morning to the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission meeting of Thursday, March 9th. We may have roll, Madam Secretary, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Gibson?
Here.
Commissioner Christie?
Here.
Commissioner Rapa?
Here.
Commissioner Rose?
Here.
Chairman Malskow?
Here. Flag salute, please.
States of America, and to the republic for which
it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next. Next we come to staff updates and...
Public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Public comment period. This is where you can talk about anything that's not on the agenda, and I might mention that if you wish to speak on this or other items, the speaker slips are in the back where you come in the door, and turn them into the front desk here, and we can take care of them that way. So I have one, Mr. Eric Greening.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Eric Greening, and I know that the Board of Supervisors gave direction that we find a way to include in the 06-07 budget work on the conservation element update, which it hasn't been updated in 31 years, so it's overdue. What surprised me, though, was to hear Vic Holanda at the Board of Supervisors strategic planning session on February 14th say that work on this element update was already beginning. It was just sort of a passing comment, and obviously there wasn't the opportunity for the public to get into a discussion mode at that point, so I'm not quite sure what was meant. Obviously, I'm excited if we are starting, but also I'm wondering on what premises, and is this going to be simply a revision, a rethinking, or what? Because I don't know that direction has been given on that. But as you know, and I will say it again, I have been strongly arguing that just as the Water Resources Advisory Committee will be giving advice on the incorporation of the Master Water Plan, we need similar expertise in relation to cultural resources and biological resources so that we have a conservation element that is strong in those areas. Then that should mean amassing that expertise now to be prepared in the long term, both in terms of preparation of the element and in terms of overseeing its implementation in an ongoing way. And so we need a Cultural Resources Advisory Committee with membership from the Chumash and Salinan tribes, archaeologists, historians, architectural historians, anthropologists conversant in living cultural landscapes. Get the expertise together and start benefiting from it. Same thing with biological resources. We need a marine biologist, a freshwater ecologist, a terrestrial botanist, a terrestrial wildlife biologist. We need, again, to pull together that expertise and start using it. Ideally, we would have these people on staff and be paying them for their expertise. But since that doesn't seem to be in the cards, I've been asking for that for a long time, at least see if there are volunteers out there who will share their expertise as the Water Resources Advisory Committee shares its expertise so that we have a conservation element and its implementation that are strong in the many ways that it needs to be. Anyway, perhaps during planning staff updates we could hear in what Vic might have meant when he said efforts were already beginning. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Anyone else on public comment? If not, we'll move on then to staff updates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Warren Hogue, Department of Planning and Building. The first thing I wanted to do on staff updates is note to you that the meeting of April 13th will be canceled. We have no items noticed for that hearing date, and we're past the deadline. And we felt that both the commission and particularly the recording secretaries could use a chance to catch up on minutes, and things like that. So if you don't object, that's what staff plans to do. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Okay.
I don't see anyone really tearful about
sealed.
That. Now, that doesn't mean that, and we'll be getting to this in just a second, that we won't be scheduling in ample time for the variety of study sessions that your Planning Commission is anticipating. And we've got some blocks of time already identified for doing that. We'll talk about that more when we get to sub-item A under staff updates. But what I thought I'd do, since that's likely to take a little bit of discussion, I thought I would turn it over to John Ufrat now and let him respond to Eric Greening's public comment, if that's what your desire mm-hmm. is.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, John Ufrat, planning staff. And, you know, I was en route walking over. I didn't hear the first part of Mr. Greening's comments, but I think I got the gist of them, and Warren summarized them for me. We are pleased to be providing a budget proposal to the Administrative Office and the Board of Supervisors to be updating our conservation element of our general plan. And that's not going to be considered by the Board until, I think, June of this year. However, you know, in the event, you know, we're relatively optimistic that at least the first phase of that will be funded, mostly because we're using, we have a balance, it's in our balanced portion of our budget or our status quo budget, and so we're able to find offsetting revenues to cover the expenses, which is primarily the hiring of a consultant. But what I think Vic was alluding to in his remarks that Eric mentioned is that we are, in anticipation of starting that effort, we're trying to get ahead of the curve and working with our mapping folks as well as our environmental division to identify kind of the baseline, the existing setting, environmental setting we have in this county, and finding out what resources we already have. And so it's just a matter of compiling those together. There's no policies being developed at this point in time, just trying to understand what we have on the books now so we don't go out and recreate the wheel when we don't need to. But we're actually really excited about beginning this effort. It's the oldest element of our general plan. It's been a number of years since it's been reviewed. And so an embarrassing long number of years. And so it needs to be done, and we fully expect to do it. And in fact, when we do, and I heard Eric listed a lot of specialists that should be involved, and we would concur, and we would hope we would get some volunteers to join us in a steering group, including hopefully Mr. Greening, to assist us in that effort. And actually, we would probably, you know, work through the board, but have that steering group established really early in the process, probably in July or August of this year.
Great. Any questions?
I'd just like to say I think it's terrific that the planning department is undertaking that effort. And I think part of what you're doing is probably just creating a Word document or some equivalent, because I understand it's actually a typewritten, physically typewritten document.
That was the first step, unfortunately, is to take
computer.
Sad but true.
But you know, I thought Eric's suggestion was a good one to create an advisory committee or a few advisory committees similar to the RAC. And I just wonder, does staff have any background or history on how the RAC was created? What does it take? Does it take a board resolution, or is it a planning director's determination, or how does that happen?
How do you establish a committee, or
like a standing committee like the Water Resources Advisory Council or the Ag Advisory?
I mean, we would go through the board to do that. The most recent one, I know the board discussed several weeks ago a steering group to assist us on the transfer of development credits program. And so, you know, we would probably do a public notice and ask for, you know, we'd maybe suggest, we'd like to have people from the environmental community and maybe from the development community as well, and as well as the specialist that Mr. Greening mentioned. Try and get volunteers, because it doesn't pay, unfortunately.
So is that something that the planning department could initiate and take to the board as a suggestion for authorization to create those standing committees that Mr. Greening referenced?
Our thought is that we would establish a steering committee or a group to assist us in updating the conservation element, and that would be its primary purpose. If that's what he said, yes. I mean, we would like to do that as soon as possible, because it makes our job a lot easier. You know, if we don't do that kind of outreach or you don't have advice from professionals, it usually is readily apparent when we bring it to your commission for a public hearing that we haven't done our outreach and haven't benefited from marine biologists and all the other specialists that we may not have on staff. It would be great if we had them on staff, but and we do have biologists on staff, but We don't have all the ologists, and so
I may have misinterpreted Mr. Greening's comments, but my thought was that the conservation element update was sort of the impetus for creating a biological resources committee and an archaeological resources committee to advise the board, the planning commission, planning staff, like the water resources committee, which is, you know, would obviously weigh in on the element, but would live beyond the element because we don't have that kind of expertise on staff, and obviously it's a vital.
You know, it's a good idea, and I think, you know, realistically, having done a number of long range plans, they don't get done right away, and in this case, the soonest we would anticipate from beginning to end would be about 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and that may be optimistic. I know our fellow planners across the street at the city of San Luis Obispo have been working on theirs for about 10 years. And I think they're actually just wrapping it up this year and maybe this month. But so that's a good thing. And I don't expect ours to take that long. But so I think first step is get one committee started and then and we'll hopefully they'll continue to want to assist us.
I would just follow on your comment about the city of San Luis. It was my thought to bring the expertise of the cities into it. I think this coordination is going to be tremendously important. And the cities have done some tremendous work, in particular San Luis City.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect timing for us. Yeah. You know, take advantage of their 10 years.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, John. Warren, did you want to get in on the study?
Yes, thank
study
you,
session,
Mr. Chair. We listed this as a specific agenda item so that your commission could discuss and offer some direction on the study sessions. And attached to my cover letter is an updated matrix that was first agreed upon by your commission about a year ago. It was March in 2005, and it lists in chart form all of the study session topics and other issues that you identified in February and March of 2005 and what the status of those is. What your commission did at that time is you identified the issue, you established the priority, indicated the implementation, and the priority itself indicated the timing. And then I added in parentheses to timing what the status was in italicized parentheses. So you can see what we've done and what remains to be done of what you identified in 2005. And then at the on the last page, the suggested new study session topics, these are ones that we've heard you mention in recent months at the Planning Commission retreat and before and after, items that you would like to have study sessions on, and we would ask that you review those, indicate what the priority should be on scheduling those, and then indicate if there's any additional topics that we didn't capture here.
Mr. Hogue, parent Sarah Christie did not get this in her packet. Is there an extra copy somewhere? Or here, John comes to the rescue.
Thank you.
As far as I know, it was in the packets, but it's not page numbered.
Yeah.
It was right before the consent agenda.
Yeah, it's not there.
You don't have it either?
My packet starts with the consent agenda. So.
Yeah. No, I've got it, but...
I have it.
The rest of you
have it? How many other commissioners not have it?
I got mine.
Okay. Bruce? Okay. I apologize, Commissioner Christie.
Right, all right.
All right. Any comments from the commissioners?
I had some thoughts. I went through the list. No, I didn't have any additions. And I see some are already scheduled, and so I saw no point in prioritizing those because effectively they're scheduled and we'll deal with them. So I don't know, maybe it'd be useful if I went down my list and said, okay, this is my number one, this is my number two, and others could do similar, and you guys could tally those up and see where you go. Anyway, my first item was groundwater recharge. The schedule of study, the public works staff scheduling a study session there. That was number one. Number two was the fire safety standards down at number 9, okay, there. And number 3 was the dark sky standards. Number 4 was the environmental review process, number 8. Number 5 was the wind energy conversion facilities, and I know I may not get a lot of other 5s on that, but we did promise, we did have a rather contentious hearing, we had a lot of neighborhood issues, and very importantly, we had some allegations that state law precluded us from doing things, including the things that our ordinance said we should do. So there appeared to be some conflict, and in my opinion, we ought to resolve that conflict. Anyway, number 6 was actually the next one on that page, effectiveness of existing ag land preservation policies there. And number 7, going back to groundwater recharge, the second bullet there, if the Planning Commission decides to incorporate groundwater recharge methods, which I would hope they would do, we would have the appropriate procedure. Okay, looking for number 8. Was up in design review. Staff will schedule a Planning Commission design review workshop session. And the very next one, the smart growth, is number 9 for me. Number 10 is your number 10, general plan conformity report process. And my last one was the last one on the last page, land division time extensions. I didn't prioritize anything that's already been done or you have a scheduled need for. Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Okay, anyone else? Something different?
Should we go in numerical? Oh, yeah. Of course. go in numerical district order, I guess. In looking this over, I did note that a lot of them had been done already, and that's great. There were a couple for which I had questions as to their status, but maybe to simplify this, let me just give you a list of about my top 3 or 4 or 5, given that I think in the reasonable time horizon of us getting actual study sessions scheduled, that the rest, the priorities may shift around on the rest of them, or our memory may fade. One that seems to be close to ready would be the number 8 environmental review process. I think that would be a quite useful one for all commissioners. We've seen over the past few months, I think a real need to understand what our responsibilities and options are as we consider our CEQA documentation and its consequences. And I would go then to the effectiveness of our ag land preservation policies as number 2. Actually, probably the highest thing on my list, but I know that it'll take a little while for us to get geared up on that, and so I would slot it right in behind the first one. Going forward from that, I think our apartment conversions, and if we could expand that, we also have the mobile home park conversion ordinance that's under consideration at this point. But the general question of conversion of rental properties to condominiums or planned developments, the idea being there how it affects affordability, and as I think we're going to discuss later today, what our options are under our state law issues. Beyond that, the TDC issue I think is an important one. I know before I joined the commission that was thoroughly discussed, but I think with work underway it would be useful for the commission to take keep close with that one, because I think it's a fundamental one tying in, of course, to ag land preservation. And beyond that, I think there are a number of basic ones that we could slot in, the basic nuts and bolts of getting our job done with no particular order: the fire safety standards, the conformity report process, groundwater recharge, all of them important, substantial conformity determinations, all of those, I think, important to our day-to-day business, but of a more technical and perhaps less visionary kind of subject for study session.
Who's next?
Number three.
I'll be happy to go. Is this on? Actually, I thought that a number of them could be combined together depending upon time, kind of encompassing the environmental review process. I felt that the conformity process and the last one, substantial conformity determinations, might be appropriately sort of combined into one study session. I also, if it said done, and I had been around, I assumed it was done.
substantial conformity was done last year. Matt Jansen and John Ufrat handled that. Are you suggesting that we revisit it?
Well, I think it's certainly come up here, and maybe it was done prior. I can't remember.
It's marked as a number two and within 60 to 90 days done, so a little confusion perhaps on where it is.
The words before done indicate what the original matrix said. I'm sorry if that was confusing, but when it says done, it means that we brought it to your commission, you deliberated, and we weren't planning to bring it back unless, of course, there's a desire on the part of your commission to revisit the issue.
I'd leave that to my colleagues. I wasn't part of that. So.
I don't remember being part of that either, but maybe I wasn't. Just don't remember.
I was.
I recall it.
I thought it was
good.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I do see that there's an opportunity to remove those which we have completed, to consolidate some that might be appropriately consolidated, and kind of going along with some of the issues that I think we are going to be dealing with, and I certainly would appreciate more input on, and I guess I don't necessarily have them in a priority. I'll just kind of give you my two or three that I think, and it's the whole conversion application as far as it relates to housing supply and housing affordability.
Isn't that going to be covered with our housing update that will come to us in the middle of the year?
I don't know.
Well, I think it probably will be, but I would think it would be great for us to be ahead of it, and plus the new information as regards how the Subdivision Map Act interacts with our general plan suggests, at least to me, a need to understand it a little bit better, my standpoint.
Right. For me, another high priority would be given to the existing agricultural land preservation policies and also incorporating the TDC program, because to me they go hand in hand. And then I guess just as something that I would find helpful, and that's the whole groundwater recharge program.
Okay, I guess I'm next. The priorities that have been listed on here, I tend to agree with, and I also agree with what's been presented here as priorities. But my feeling is that some of these subjects I think you can present quicker than others, and I'd like to get going and have those done. And those that may take a little longer, put them towards the middle and the rear so that we can get through these things. If we recommend a priority on something that's going to take a while to do and then we put everything else behind that, I think it's going to slow up the process. So I would like to proceed with these things, and I don't really have a priority that I need to have first before all the others. I think we just need to get into these and deal with them as fast as we can. Let's see.
Sarah. So before I get into my priorities, I have a comment on one of the new suggested study session topics, and that's the possible letter to the Board of Supervisors on a policy for responsible agency handling of EIRs. It was my understanding from our previous discussions on that we didn't indicate that we needed a study session or a workshop on that. It was my understanding that we were basically going to agendize that for an action item. We are going to write a letter to the Board of Supervisors, or we are going to discuss writing a letter to the Board of Supervisors on suggesting that they formulate some sort of policy on that. So I understood that that was an action item for the agenda, not a workshop study topic.
It will be. I just didn't want it lost in the shuffle.
Okay.
It is already docketed for the next meeting.
Okay, great.
It will be listed as a discrete item and listed as discussion of sending a possible letter.
Terrific. Appreciate that. So in terms of the priorities that I see, just quickly going through this list, I'm going to ascribe the evaluation of the effectiveness of our land use preservation policies as number one, primarily because we came to such a glorious consensus on the importance of that at our workshop together. That was one of the, I thought, most helpful things that came out of that workshop. So I'm going to give that a high priority, with the understanding that it is going to take a while to put together. And as Gene said, let's not back other things up behind it. But, you know, the Ag Commissioner said they've got a lot of that work done, and I think get the ball rolling on that would be great. I'm going to go with number two for land division time extensions, only because those come to us almost every meeting. We have a track map extension before us, and we've heard a little bit of discussion about that we have some discretion there, but none of us really know what our discretion is. So because that's something that we deal with on a regular basis, I think we need to be educated on that process sort of ASAP. And then I concur with Commissioners Rappa and Gibson on the apartment conversion question, because, again, every time we go ahead with one of those without having a full understanding of its impact, we lose we potentially lose some of our affordable housing stock, and I think that's of extreme importance. And then for four, I'd go with environmental review process, and five, I'd go with groundwater recharge. And those would be my five highest priorities. And again, because those are things that we deal with on a regular basis, and if we can be doing a better job on that, I'd like to do a better job.
I agree with Chairman Melskow's thought that, you know, let's get some of these really simple ones out of the way, even though they might be, you know, lower in priority if we can get rid of them. And this groundwater recharge might be one of those, because at least as we discussed it the first time around, we were going to look at the new requirements on pollution standards, and I think Public Works was doing some work in that direction, and we were going to hear from them as what they were doing. So I suspect much of that work is already done. The rest of it, you know, in my opinion, isn't really rocket science. You know, if you put a bunch of asphalt, one, the pollution's going to go somewhere, and also the water's going to go somewhere. And how can we prevent that?
Mr. Hogue, have we helped you or not?
Oh, no. No, it's been very helpful. You know, I've definitely noticed some concurrence, some trends. Mm-hmm. There's some differences of opinion. I don't know how fancy we're going to get with sifting this, but
yeah.
I wanted to, as I alluded to earlier, I wanted to tell your commission that we've got time docketed on April 27th, and we've got time docketed on May... Excuse me while I turn the pages. May 25th, goodly chunks of time for study sessions. And what we'll do is we'll try to balance what your highest priorities are with the amount of staff preparation it takes to be properly prepared,
mm-hmm.
you know, to give the study session. I know that Rob Lewin, the county fire marshal, has indicated he's ready to come anytime, any place to give the fire safety standards talk. And I'm hopeful that he may be able to fill our first slot. I know it's not your highest priority, mm-hmm. but it is something I know that could be ready to go. I don't mean to put Richard Marshall on the spot, but Richard and I haven't discussed what kind of preparation time he might need to work on the groundwater recharge issue. Whether that could fit in April or May, I don't know. We'll determine that. A couple of these others, I think we can get them up as soon as possible. The Agland Preservation Policy study session is important to everyone, including staff, and we will work on that diligently, but it requires thought and effort. and it won't be up in April or May, but we'll definitely get it up as soon as we can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. With that, we'll give you regular reports during staff updates is where we are with scheduling and everything, so you're in the loop.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay. Any more comments from the commissioners?
I have just one more. It's really helpful to me if, and I think the fire safety standards is an excellent example, if we can receive information ahead of time. We don't always get that on a study session item, and it certainly helps me. And then I was just asked by my colleague on my left if this is a public, we want to take public comment on this item since it was scheduled.
Oh, yes, okay. All right. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to address this, any of these items?
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and I think I like where this is going, and I kind of agree with what Commissioner Rappa said. If there is something that can be studied in advance so that your commission can formulate questions, often the best insights come not out of a planned presentation, even when it's prepared with exquisite care, but out of the question and answer and the sort of dialogue that actually creates the better understanding. Mm-hmm. And that dialogue can be enriched by having questions already formulated, material in hand to formulate such questions. So anyway, I think all of the topics you're looking at are critically important, and I just hope we start moving on a better understanding of all of them. I would also, of course, say that any of the topics in groundwater recharge is one of them, which has a bearing on the conservation element, would certainly be a high priority at this time. And a couple of others that might be worth putting in the list somewhere are adapting to SB 18, I think it is, which is sort of a new way of doing cultural resources. And also, I think we need to do a study session on how we're going to implement the open space policies that have not yet been implemented, and most specifically, how we designate and protect a network of major ecosystems. What constitutes a major ecosystem? We've had this policy sitting in the open space element for 7 years, and still don't have any real guidance or movement on it. So there are other things that need to be on the list, too, but certainly everything you have there is vitally important. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, I had one more comment.
Okay.
This isn't really a study session item, but it was discussed at your retreat, and I thought I would give you an update on it. The commission at the retreat had identified some additional wording changes to the bylaws or the rules of procedure that the subcommittee had suggested. I just wanted to let you know that didn't fall in the black hole. I in the process of fitting those in, there was one section that your commission asked council and myself to get together on, and we will do that, and I'll bring those back as a agendized item for you to consider for adoption probably next month.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Any more comments from the commissioners? All right. That, I think, covers the study sessions. Staff updates, you've given us everything you had. Finish there.
Everything I could think of, unless
okay.
You have any questions.
Okay. Apparently
not. I forgot to look at, well, the coastal people aren't here today. I usually have Matt Jansen here to see if anything came up in the coastal zone.
He's there.
There he is. Yeah.
Oh, he's back there.
Forgotten me.
He may be noting he's sporting some new footwear. Had some recent surgery. So,
okay.
Matt, anything? Any news from the coastal zone? And John Euphrat seems to be holding his peace. So I think we're done.
All right. Thank you. We'll move on then to consent agenda. And is there anyone from the audience wishing to speak on the consent agenda? Apparently not. I'll bring it back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I think our one item does deserve some discussion. First and foremost, to clarify the action that we're being asked to take today, and second, to get into the substance of the determination made as to the general plan conformity.
All right, wait, I guess, do we need this announced or not? Is that the, we don't announce consent, right, okay.
Mr. Chair, if it's being pulled for separate discussion, I think you should have the clerk read the title into the record so
okay.
The public is clear on what you're discussing.
All right, we'll do that.
The consent agenda is a determination of conformity with the general plan for sale of 1 acre surplus property. It's in the Whitney Gardens in the El Pomar planning area, county file number DTM 2005-00001, and Josh Limbombard is the project manager.
Good morning, commissioners. Josh Limbombard, planning staff. Just a clarification, Mr. Gibson, that the recommended action would be receive and file on this. And I'm here for any questions.
Okay. Well, that was first and foremost because as listed in our staff report, it is the determination of conformity, and you know, I'd ask County Council what our options are in terms of receive and file. Can we refuse to receive if we don't believe that it's and where should we file it? Excuse me.
My understanding is that there's a transmittal letter that went along with this. This is the department's report and. It was admitted, yep. At least from my packet. I don't know if it was in yours, but that's what Josh Limbombard indicated. As far as whatever action you take, staff recommendation, receive and file, and it's up to your discretion what you want to do.
Okay. I would assume that the action on declaring the surplus and ready for sale would be at the Board of Supervisors. It does have to go through this step to have at least certified conformity has been analyzed, and I'll tell you, just in reading this over, I have some substantial concerns about the conformity of this to our general plan. It seems that on two basic grounds. One of them is it's clear that in that the intention is for this to be surplus sold, and the expectation of the county is that residential development would ensue rather shortly, I would expect. But it's clear in the staff report that the lot is substandard as to the net acreage, and its inability to sustain a septic system in particular makes me wonder why the county would want to put substandard lots out for potential residential development. I would liken that to the situation in the antiquated subdivisions on the hillsides above Cayucas, where the county policy is now to retain lots that the county owns, however they have been acquired, because those are, at this point, substandard lots. So I see a direct parallel with that. Furthermore, there's an extensive environmental review here that suggests that anything happening on this parcel would require mitigation for the San Joaquin Kit Fox. And it seems to me sort of counterintuitive that we would turn this out to potential development when we actually have apparently preserved a piece of habitat that we are trying to protect. So, you know, again, that doesn't seem in conformity with perhaps common sense in terms of our general plan. And the last thing is that in the analysis here, somewhere on land use, an analysis that was part of the environmental determination in the biological. I can't find it. It was in land use. There was a check mark that potentially this was inconsistent with the gen page 20. Thank you, Richard. I had the big yellow tag on it. That's why I couldn't find it. Under Section 15, land use would be potential. You know, the question's asked: is it potentially inconsistent with our land use policy? And the check is for potentially inconsistent. So I have a hard time receiving this report as consistent with our general plan.
I'm glad Commissioner Gibson pulled this from the consent agenda. I just want to frame this in very simple terms. This parcel is, by definition, an antiquated subdivision, which is one of those pernicious planning problems that we consistently wring our hands over our inability to deal with in terms of how do we get rid of them and prevent the inappropriate development that ensues on them. I'm assuming it was by tax default that the county took possession of this parcel. And given the fact that we now have the ability to control its fate, it seems just inexplicable to me that we would control its fate by contributing to the inappropriate, problematic development of an antiquated parcel that we could theoretically retire. My question to staff, and understanding that the county doesn't want to hold little, you know, one-acre parcels of non-contiguous land throughout the county, but given the fact that it is by definition inconsistent with our general plan, my question, I don't know if it's to planning staff or county council, is rather than putting this parcel up for public auction, is there any way that we could do something similar to what the Bureau of Land Management frequently does, and that is offer it to an adjacent landowner for sale with the condition that it be merged with an existing lot and have a conservation easement recorded over it so that no future development could take place, but it would you know, put the property back on the tax rolls and get it off the county's plate. Is that something that we could potentially explore?
I believe that General Services, in their disposition of property, has looked at that before, and I'm the tax collector. Backing up, getting back to Mr. Gibson's comment, I think the county does have the option of not selling it. And but I know that we've also sold land and required it to be merged before.
Perhaps I can shed a little light on that. Where General Services has required that the property be sold to an adjacent landowner, there were actually policies in the general plan and policies that General Services adopted for those particular pieces of property. That said that they have to first try and sell them to the adjacent property owners. In this case, those policies don't exist either in the general plan or in General Services surplus property policies. So this is development of a piece of property that was legally created. It's surrounded by other development, and unfortunately there's no map in the staff report to show you, but this is a one-acre parcel that's surrounded by other one-acre parcels that are all developed with single-family residences. When this first came to planning staff, we did raise the issue of selling this to a neighboring property owner with General Services. Ultimately, that decision is made by the Board of Supervisors when they surplus it. It's really not a decision that's made here or by planning staff, but it has been raised to General Services staff by planning staff. It's something we would prefer to see happen, but we can't mandate happen because there's nothing in the general plan that allows, as part of this determination, that mandate to occur.
I guess the question is, have they tried to offer it to adjacent property?
You know, I'm not entirely certain if they've even asked yet.
It was staff's request, Josh and Bomber, it was staff's request that General Services consider talking to adjacent landowners. I'm not sure if that did happen. Unfortunately, there isn't anybody from General Services here right now. Linda Van Fleet, oh, is that right? Oh, Linda, sorry, I didn't see you back there. Do you want to answer that question then? Okay.
All right. Cammie, while she's coming to the mic, you said there are general plan policies that require that offering to a neighbor, but they don't apply here. Is that because they're in the area plan standards?
They're actually a part of a discussion in the land use chapter of the area of a specific area plan. So, for instance, for that to occur here, something like a policy in an area plan or an area plan standard would have to exist, and then it'd be cake, so to
right.
speak.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, ma'am.
I'm Linda Van Fleet with General Services in Real Property Services Division. As far as offering this property to an adjacent landowner, we have discussed with one of the adjacent landowners, who is also the developer of the of Reindeer Place and several other one-acre lots in the immediate vicinity. The road has actually been cut and is being developed right now. He is interested in the parcel as a standalone parcel. Whether or not he would be interested in merging it, he's not as interested in that. We have not offered it to the other contiguous neighbors. We haven't discussed that, and the reason for that is it is not board directed. There are certain areas that it is board directed, and that's the only way that we will consider selling a parcel is mm-hmm. to a contiguous neighbor. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, then why did you talk to the original property
Actually,
owner?
He contacted us.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. And you are correct. It was acquired by tax default mm-hmm. in 1980, I believe, from the original landowner who had purchased it in 1930-something. Mm-hmm. We do have a, what is it called, compliance, a lot, certificate of compliance. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We do have a certificate of compliance on the lot.
So the county's basically held this parcel for 26 years. Mr. Chair, I would propose then, given the fact that there's no urgency to unload this property that we've had for 26 years, my inclination would not be to receive and file this, and instead to suggest to the Board of Supervisors that they consider a general plan amendment that would in the Salinas River Area Plan that would allow the board to would allow General Services to have discussions with neighboring property owners and require lot mergers in situations like this, because Ground Squirrel Hollow, which is where this is located very near to, is the poster child that we use for the problem of antiquated subdivisions in this county. And if we could do something as simple as that to deal with the most problematic antiquated subdivision problem in the county, that's what we should do, not be putting these things up for sale so that more dumb development can take place out there. But let's get a general plan policy in place that will allow us to deal with this in a reasonable, equitable way.
Let me ask just for clarification. Is it not possible for General Services to approach one or both landowners about purchase, or is your path solely to go to auction on this?
Well, our path has been in part determined by budget. This is actually a budget item for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there is we have no objection to approaching neighboring landowners. That's not the path that we've published an auction date. We were going to go to auction pending approval of the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
We could change courses. I don't know that we can manage it in this fiscal year, mm-hmm. But we could try to do that and try to sell to an adjacent landowner. It would affect, of course, appraised value and,
mm-hmm.
and the transaction.
Sure. But I guess I'm still not clear on whether we need anything from the Board of Supervisors. My inclination would be to make our action here to not receive and file this general plan conformity report, to make the determination that based on the record presented to us, this is not in conformity with our general plan, and to direct staff to approach one or both neighboring property owners for possible purchase of this lot and merger with one or both of the adjacent, we could split this lot, take half to each adjacent parcel, or take one parcel, could take it over, but absolutely merger to retire this development potential, and that hopefully that direction to staff could be executed without having to go through board action, through Board of Supervisors action.
Before we get too far, we're not the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
What we're asked to do is put something on our agenda that planning staff has already determined this is in conformance with our general plan. All we're doing is receiving and file that. You're going places we can't legally go. I certainly agree. It makes absolutely no sense to make this some buildable parcel out there. It makes all sense in the world to merge it with something adjacent.
Okay.
It does, but we're not the Board of Supervisors. Those are the people that can make that happen.
Okay.
And,
well,
that's it.
Well, let me ask County Council. I would float or entertain Commissioner Rose, assuming it's his district, to float a motion to make the determination that this parcel is not in conformity with our general plan and that we shall not receive this report from Planning Department.
The entity or agency that's been delegated the responsibility to make the conformity determination is the Planning Director, not this commission. This commission would have authority on that if the director's decision were appealed to you. That is not taking place here. That's why it's just to receive and file. The state law says that if the public agency is going to dispose of real property, it has to refer a project for a conformity report. There's 40 days to respond. If there's no response within 40 days, it's deemed to be in conformity. In this particular case, the director has made a determination and has responded, and I don't think you have the legal authority to find it's not in conformity with the general plan.
But
I don't think your action to not receive and file would stop this. Okay. However, if you feel it's important that you would like to provide some input to the Board of Supervisors in making their decision, you could send a separate letter.
Sure. Has the 40 days run?
I assume it has. Staff has already made the determination.
Okay.
How would anybody know to appeal the Planning Director's determination to the Planning Commission when their first notification of that Planning Director's determination is in our agenda packet after the 40 days is run?
Well, they would have to be watching it when it went to the Planning Director to make a determination. My understanding...
But how does that happen?
Why don't you let me...
They're going to be outside his office or something?
My understanding is that the reason that staff put this on the Planning Commission's agenda after the determination has been made is to get more public input into it when the Board of Supervisors actually makes its decision on whether to dispose of the property or not.
But I'm just interested from a process standpoint. If you're telling this commission that we cannot make a finding of nonconformity because no one has appealed the decision to us, and there is no practical opportunity for the public to make such an appeal,
well,
that puts us in an untenable situation.
Well, maybe you need to re-examine what the rules are established. That's what the rules say. They say, Planning Director, you make the determination whether it's in conformity, and that determination is then supposed to be put on the next Planning Commission agenda for receive and file. And then it says there's an opportunity to appeal that determination if somebody wants to do it. And
I wouldn't relook at the rules. I would reinterpret the rules, and I would say that the public has the opportunity to appeal. It's just a Planning Director's recommendation at this point. It hasn't been determined to be in conformance with our general plan until we take an action.
See, that's not what I think the legal situation is. I think the Planning Director has made the determination, and you don't have the authority to override Planning Director, but you can provide input to the board if you want to.
I'm unclear who works for whom here.
These are the rules that the Board of Supervisors has established in the framework for planning for conformity reports.
Maybe we need to move that up to priority one on our workshop list.
That does sound like we have some.
We discussed this when last March when you were first on the commission.
It's never been resolved to my satisfaction.
I would tend to agree with that, but we can't solve that today, and I hope Mr. Hoge has taken notes that certainly this is fertile ground for a study session. And with that, I'll move that.
Could you wait? I think we need to go to the public. I went prematurely early, and I think with all this discussion, we need to do that. I have one more question to staff. Are there other lots of the same size nearby that have been developed?
Yes, pretty much the entire subdivision
Okay.
Has been developed in this manner.
Do they?
As long as you have 1 acre, you're allowed to do a well and septic system. And as long as this property ends up, in the end, being 1 acre, then that complies with Title 19, and you can establish a well and septic system. And there's certain distances you have to be from your neighbor's wells and septic systems. And
so they have a well and septic on 1 acre is the way they've been developed?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Any more questions of staff? If not, I'll open it to the public.
I'm Eric Greening, and I see the fix you're in from the standpoint of process. I've got a question and an observation. My question is, how or where is it published when the planning commissioner may, or when the planning director makes a determination and the 40 days begin ticking? Is there a place to look, short of standing outside the planning director's office, as Mr. Rose suggested? Or I guess it was Ms. Christie. Anyway, the observation is, I was on the ad hoc committee that essentially oversaw the updating of the El Pomar area plan, the land use and circulation elements for the El Pomar Estrella area, which this is part of. And I do not remember ever being told that we had the option to create either region-wide or in specified areas an overlay zone or whatever it would take to amend the process so that adjoining property owners would be given first right of refusal for the purpose of merger. I think if that had been offered to us as something that has happened in other areas, if that had been part of our training for this ad hoc committee, we might have jumped at the opportunity. So I think that that area plan was approved without those making the decision ever being presented with this as an option for dealing with these situations. So that's just an observation. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, if I might just offer a comment on Eric's comment. I was also involved in the El Pomar update. Eric and I were at about 2.5 years' worth of advisory committee meetings, and we discussed antiquated subdivisions very thoroughly. And the ultimate decision was to leave particularly Ground Squirrel Hollow in the agricultural category, even though it was clearly a collection of legally created lots, albeit an antiquated subdivision, and that they were being sold separately and developed separately. There is no county merger ordinance that would affect private property. I believe what Eric was referring to is that it would have been nice to know if the advisory committee had the option of recommending that the county establish a policy in the general plan at that time to require that sale of county parcels first pursue merger with adjoining properties. I can just simply say that staff wasn't aware that there was extensive county ownership of parcels in Ground Squirrel Hollow, like we were clearly aware of in the Cayucas Hillsides or the California Valley, where there are established policies. Possibly Ms. Van Fleet can illuminate us, but I think this is a fairly isolated situation. I don't think there's that many tax default parcels in Ground Squirrel Hollow. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but it just wasn't on our radar screen at the time, and it wasn't deliberate on the part of planning staff.
All right, thank you. Anyone else from the public?
With that, I had a...
All right, I'll bring it back to the commission.
I had a motion.
Wait, I just have a question. Mr. Hoag said, we have this ordinance for California Valley, correct?
It's a planning area standard in the Shando-Carriza area plan.
Oh, okay.
It's not a countywide ordinance.
Right.
Now, can we ready?
Commissioner Ruse, yes.
I move that they receive and file this general plan conformity, and that we send a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors that this be designated an unbuildable lot, because its net acreage is less than 1 acre, and that it only be subsequently sold to an adjacent property owner for subsequent merger with an adjacent property.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Any more discussion?
I completely agree with the outcome, Commissioner Rose. I'm wondering if it might not send a stronger message to the board if the motion was to not receive and file. We've heard it goes forward to the Board of Supervisors anyway. I would just like to test that process.
And I wouldn't.
I would agree with the maker of the motion. And I would also like to just suggest that maybe if we all reviewed the, quote, hierarchy of how decisions are made, then we would have a better opportunity to see if there are areas that we think need further review, because there is a hierarchy that who makes what decision.
All right. Any more discussion? If not, roll call, please.
Commissioner Rose?
Yes.
Commissioner Rappa?
Yes.
Commissioner Gibson?
Yes.
Commissioner Christie?
No.
Chairman Malskow?
Yes. All right. That gets us to item number one. May we have that announced, please?
Item one is a hearing to consider request by EDA Weirich for a vesting tentative tract map 2710 to subdivide an existing 5.28-acre parcel into 21 residential lots. It's in the community of San Miguel in the Salinas River Planning Area, county file number SUB 2004-00331, and Josh Lombard is the project manager.
Good morning, Commissioners. Josh Lombard, planning staff. Staff is recommending that this item be continued to the May 25th Planning Commission hearing. We've received some comments and a letter regarding the mitigated negative declaration for the project, which we feel we need a little bit more time to address properly.
What was the date again?
The May 25th agenda.
All right. Any questions of staff? If not, I'll go to the public. And I have some speaker slips, but do you wish to speak today, or can you come back on the May 25th hearing? I have. How about David Broadwater? I don't see. Can you come back on May 25th, or do you need to speak today? Okay, then that's your right.
Good morning. Is this on? Good morning, Commissioners. My name is David Broadwater from Atascadero. Just on the, my concerns are regarding the cadmium that's been found on this property. And according to the EPA, cadmium can affect the lungs, kidneys, liver, bone, immune system, blood, nervous system, sperm number and viability, birth weight, skeletal system, fetal metabolism, neurological development, and cause testicular damage and cancer. And the exposure routes are from eating food grown in it, ground and surface water, ingestion of dirt, contact with the soil, and inhalation. So that any landscaping or kids playing on the ground or gardening to grow food in this area is going to potentially cause some problems. Now, just as some background, in terms of cadmium levels in the soil, the average level of cadmium in uncontaminated agricultural soil in California is 0.36 parts per million. Apparently, what's been found is 24 parts per million. The California EPA brownfield standards, the California Human Health soil limit, is 1.7 parts per million. And the Regional Water Quality Control Board's environmental screening level is the same, 1.7 part per million for shallow soil. The applicant, according to the newspaper, mentioned a cleanup standard of 37 parts per million. I don't know what that means or where that comes from. I have questions about that. But the Environmental Management's Phase 2 report says that further analysis and remedial action is necessary. That's obviously true. And according to the Department of Toxic Substance Control, a DTSC, the way to approach this is to conduct a preliminary endangerment assessment. And there are specific guidelines to how to go about conducting that. And I'd like to refer to the map briefly. the negative declaration states that, Josh, if you could put the map up, Josh told me he'd help me, that there's no substantial evidence that there could be any environmental damage. Well, that's there's a lack of evidence because there's been a lack of information. The plot map with the core sample drillings. If I got a little bit of time until that comes up.
You have very little time, sir.
And we've got another whole public hearing coming up.
Pardon me?
We've got another whole public hearing coming up.
I understand that, but I thought this was publicly noticed, so I made the effort to come down here. Now, in this area is where the cadmium has been found. How far it extends out from that is unknown. That's the lack of substantial evidence for a negative declaration. So I would recommend to you that you conduct the lead agency is responsible to conduct a preliminary endangerment assessment and that this be done before any approvals be given for this project. And so that analysis gets done before any, you know, approvals are granted for this project. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next, I have Eric Greening. Do you have anything further than that? Or if you agree with the first speaker, say that and then give us anything else that you may have.
I'm Eric Greening, and I'm hoping to be here on the 25th to address the project itself. A little bit about process now. I agree with the previous speaker, but I would suggest that the preliminary endangerment assessment should actually occur before this is heard again, which may have some bearing on the date to which it is continued to. I also would observe that the Class 2 impacts identified under hazardous substances on pages 28 and 29, it is at this point speculative that the impact can and will be mitigated. We do not know how complicated the remediation plan would get or what secondary impacts would be caused by that remediation plan. And so, again, without the remediation plan in front of you, based on a total site characterization, I don't think you would be in a position to approve a negative declaration. So just in terms of setting the hearing, I would recommend that you ask that that information be in front of you before you hear this item. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Alan Volbrecht.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, my name is Alan Volbrecht. I had come today to speak as a member of the public in support of this project. I'm disappointed that staff, after all this time, has suddenly come at the 11th hour and recommended that it be pulled. And we're not even going to discuss the reasons that it's going to be pulled. There's some information available. We can guess why. And I think we've heard a little bit of that with the speakers. But I'm disappointed. We'll be back on May 25th. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Andrew Christie.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I'm Andrew Christie. I'm the chapter coordinator for the Sierra Club in San Luis Obispo. We, too, are concerned about the staff report and the study that's been put into this project. The idea that you're going to approve on a mitigated negative declaration, two dozen family residences on a toxic waste site, without knowing the source of the contamination, if the contamination will continue after cleanup, what the effects of exposure are, what else was tested for was not stated in the report, what impacts you need to analyze under CEQA for remediation, what are the water table issues, and the proposition that a qualified professional will have to prepare a site remediation plan, and that this is submitted somehow as mitigation under the California Environmental Quality Act would all be issues that we would take a great deal of exception to if they were to survive the revised report by staff. And in view of the potential public health impacts of the site contamination and the Commission's lack of information thereon, we would point out that you must require an environmental impact report on this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public? It's the last speaker slip I have. I'll bring it back to the Commission.
Mr. Chair, I move that we continue this item to May 25th.
Second.
Although speaking to the motion sounds to me like it's a little dubious if that all that information that seems to be required can be gathered by that time. I hope that it will be, and if so, we'll go ahead. If not, we'll
have to continue again then.
Josh Labomber, planning staff. I made the recommendation of that date without knowing what your commission was going to require of us to come back. So that date is flexible. If need be, if you feel that the information you're going to require of the applicant is too much to come back at that date, we can extend it then to accommodate that.
I have a little problem with that. I mean, this isn't about what we're going to require. I mean, we're going to require what CEQA requires. At least from the testimony that we heard this morning, we're nowhere near that, but that's only one half of the story. And I'm hoping you'll come up with what CEQA requires, and we'll go forward with that. I have no idea what the standards are, and I'm certain that when you come with your next staff report, we'll have the standards and what we measured here and what we measured there and that sort of level of detail. Like I said, I'm a little skeptic if you can make it in that time, but if you can, great.
I feel comfortable that we can make it at that date, at this moment in time, unless something else arises from your commission.
Well, I guess it's not from us, and I would absolutely agree with Commissioner Roos. To me, it just means you take a second look at the initial study to determine if there are other issues that staff can identify and appropriate measures that should be taken for myself.
It seems to me that the suggestion that the preliminary endangerment assessment be conducted before we proceed with the next hearing, that seems like a reasonable suggestion to me. I have no idea what a preliminary endangerment assessment is or what it entails, but if it's a legal requirement, we should probably have that before us. So, I think staff might also want to take another look at whether or not this might be more appropriate to analyze under an EIR. I am going to support the motion, but I'm supporting it with the assumption that it's highly likely that staff may come back on the 25th and say we need to continue this off calendar because we need to do a substantial amount of additional work before we can meet the requirements under CEQA.
All right. Any more comments?
Well, I guess I would only ask staff in terms of the noticing, what are the noticing requirements, and would an off-calendar continuance be more appropriate?
If we continue to a date certain, then the noticing requirements are none, essentially. We don't need to notice it. This hearing sets that. If we continue it to a date uncertain, then we would have to re-notice the project.
Okay.
All right. Do we have a motion to the May 25th?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
We do. All right. If there's no more discussion, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, so carried. You ready for a break, or you want to keep going?
I am indeed.
And, all right.
Once I have that break, I wish to inform the commission I'll be unable to continue for the day, so I wish
He's
you well.
Out of here.
All right. We'll have our break. Come back here at 13 after.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get through this.
I just
yeah.